Get ready to listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source.
Hello.
You're live. Well, we're live on Hacker Voice Radio. On the 31st of January 2006. This is your daily broadcast of Hacker Voice Radio. And we're joined here by Planet Lave.
Hola.
As always. On a sort of windy Tuesday, not such an eventful Tuesday, although there's been a few good news topics that I have digged up, and also I'm starting to use our blogging stuff to post up news stuff on there as well, so that we can, you know, instead of scrambling through thousands of emails and stuff, we can just go to one page, read them off, and it's more presentable, should I say.
Cool stuff. Didn't you mean to make an announcement about the blogging last night?
I did, yeah, and I forgot. It passed my mind. Our blogging software has been revamped by Planet Lave, and I've altered the HTML, which is probably like three lines of HTML, which I shouldn't really be proud of, but I've done that anyway, so now that you can basically, when you click on that link, it will send you to our WordPress blogging page. You're free to register and you're free to use it. I will not be administrating this thing, so whoever wants to take charge of that can do if they wish. But yeah, it's free to for anybody who is in the forums or is a, you know, a long time listener or a long time participant of Hacker Voice, is more than welcome to use this for their own means, and also posting up any kind of news stories or relevant information and news stories that you may come across on your day-to-day journeys. And also, we had to post another post by Lucasaid. He's our number one news gatherer so far, and he has posted some new news articles, one of which is fucking hilarious. And I'm so pissed off at this, I can't say. I'm so jealous. The news story reads, RFID tags, the rude words ID cards minister won't say. When it comes to RFID, as a prime minister, Andy Burnham read this again. Oh dear. Right. Basically, news story is that transvestites will get two ID cards. Pre-op transsexuals favored with twin IDs. Many people in the UK don't want an ID card, but one group of people is going to get struck lucky with two. Last week, Baroness Scotland of Ashville let slip that transsexuals awaiting surgery would be entitled to an ID card displaying their birth gender as an with a separate gender and with a separate card displaying their gender of designation. So transsexuals already struggling with two wardrobes will now have and various shoes will now also look forward to fork out for two ID cards, depending on who you believe. An ID card will cost between £30 and £300. Whether this leaves Fortress Britain at risk of hordes of cross-dressing Al-Qaeda operatives has not yet cleared. Government were also notified last night on who should be appointed National Card National Identity Card Commissioner. The scheme is supposed to be the watch. The scheme whereby is supposed to be the watchdog of the ID card of the national ID card system. The Lords voted that the cards should be appointed by the Crown rather than directly by the Home Office. Interesting. In reality, the Queen is likely to take the Home Office's advice, to get two ID cards, sorry, I couldn't resist, does give the post at least the last chance of independence. The bill will face its third reading by the Lords on February the 6th, so watch out on that one. That's I think that's the day before the 2600 meeting.
I don't know, when is the 2600?
It's the 7th, this Friday.
This Friday?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yes.
That's the 1st.
Oh, no, sorry, pardon me. The 2600 is on the 3rd.
Gotcha, cool.
Sorry, yeah.
I only say that because I nearly booked the day half day off. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Sorry, I apologise to all the listeners, and I apologise to myself, seeing as I did make a calendar entry in our forums.
Oh, yeah.
To remind everyone.
Good call.
So, yeah, I'm really slipping up here. I think I need to reassess my job evaluation here. I'm sorry, Bilal, you've been with us for 4 months. All your work is very well, but your standards are slipping. on behalf of Hacker Voice Radio, we would like to let you know that your job is questioned.
You're giving yourself a verbal warning there.
Yes.
Listen, mister, you better fuck your ideas up. I will.
Okay, ID cards. So, if you're a transsexual out there, which I'm sure many of our listeners are... You will now be the proud owner of two ID cards, one of which is your birth gender, such as male, female, and one of which will be your designated gender by whichever you choose. So let's say you are a male and want to become a female, you will have two cards.
How can this work? Because if the police stop you,
yeah,
and they say, where the hell is your mandatory ID
card?
And you pull one out and it says Mike Smith... male, 27,
yeah,
and you're there with a pair of tits, uh-huh, and a wig on, and yeah, lipstick, they're going to go, hang on a minute, this looks a bit like you, but, this is a guy, and you're a ropey-looking lady.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't they pull you in for having a fake ID? Or can everyone suddenly get two IDs and say, yes, it was a long time ago, I had a sex change operation, I don't like to talk about it. That's why I carry a woman's ID card.
Ah, so you carry a woman's one. Do you? Do you carry a woman's ID card?
No, I carry a woman's head around in a bag. Damn it, I'm not meant to admit to that, am I? Shit.
Not that, no, yeah.
No, not on air.
Not on air.
Only in therapy, yes. I remember. Damn it.
Oh dear.
But it just seems strange.
Yeah. fuck him.
Strange story.
Oh, man. You know that story we were talking about earlier about Microsoft opening their source code?
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently... the Wall Street Journal has obtained a confidential document sent from the European Union antitrust regulations to Microsoft last month, warning the software giant that a release of its Windows source code would not meet the EU's reuse regulation requirements. Last week, you may recall, Microsoft announced the great fanfare that it would release portions of the Windows source code in a bid to meet the overdue EU antitrust requirements. Microsoft General Counsel called the move a bad stroke when it was announced. General Counsel sorry. The Windows source code was never asked nor needed, indeed welcomed, a British computer scientist wrote. So basically it's like, well, actually, bam, bam, we stick two fingers up at you, mister. Sorry, I'm just typing out something here. To, somebody that wishes to, call in.
Good job, we've got some elevator music in the background.
Yeah,
we can all just all right. Move to that for a couple of minutes.
So you're not...
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying that the little bit of, Scooby string isn't to your liking?
I'm just saying it's elevator music. I'm not saying it's good or bad.
Okay, so how about...
That's the best elevator music I ever heard!
Some drum and bass, maybe?
Oh, dear. Yeah, drum and bass for the win. Have a bit of that.
Noob.
I can barely hear it anyway, so yeah. I don't know what I'm complaining about.
Well, that's good. That's good. At least it's not putting you off. Anyway, the source code was never asked for, nor indeed welcomed. British computer scientist wrote in a report describing Microsoft's broach attempt to meet the European antitrust demands. You may recall that the EU antitrust commissioner Neelie Kroes said that she was surprised that Microsoft made the source code offer last week. Given its revelation, her comments can be put into perspective. She's surprised because the EU specifically told the company that the source code release would not meet its requirements. So it's a bit like, well, we'll release it, but there's no need for it to be released. So it sounds like a big kind of PR stunt or fuck up or whatever.
So they're saying that's not enough to halt the fines and the action towards Microsoft. They're still going ahead with all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were like, well, actually, we didn't give a fuck about your, you know, source code, so we're still going to sue you, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Bill. So what else we got in this big bag of news?
Big bag of news.
Big bag of news. Just want to actually say thanks to Lucas. I know you did earlier, but he's been damn excellent
at
digging out some very cool news for us lately. And thank you, sir.
Definitely. It is much appreciated because it's a real struggle to get stuff out and do the show and work at the same time. So, you know...
Yeah.
The more the merrier. I've said it millions of times. If you see an article or anything like that, post it up on the forums. And now you actually have the member blogs, so you're more than welcome to post it up on there as well, because we tend to miss stuff out.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. So another bit of news is that Winamp 4.0 has been released. If you wish to download this, go to www.insecure.org and download it. I've downloaded it already. It has some fantastic new features. It's pretty cool, and go ahead, play around with it. And our good friend Ranny also told me about this as well earlier on. So, yeah, thanks to him.
Just got to stop you there.
Yes.
I think you got two stories crisscrossed.
Have I?
Yeah, I think Nmap version 4 is out at insecure.org.
Yeah.
And Luke says he's got a different story about a exploit in Winamp.
No. Nmap 4.0 is out.
Yeah.
And that was given to us by Metatron and also Branny. But the Winamp exploit I haven't even gotten to.
Yeah, Sissy said Winamp version 4 is out.
Did I say Winamp?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologise.
That's why I stopped you.
Yeah, I apologise, because my brain must have read Winamp and said...
I figured you just had two things going on.
Yeah, yeah. I had my brain... crashed. Yes.
You got too many threads going on in that thing, mate.
Yeah, I need to slipstream my brain. I need to patch my kernel.
Ooh.
Upgrade my dependencies.
Sounds painful.
Yes. And for all you Winamp lovers, of which one I am, hackers have created an exploit targeting a serious new sexuality vulnerability. No, that would read security vulnerability in Winamp, a popular new media player. Users are strongly urged to update their software to Winamp version 5.13 to guard against attack. A remote exploit buffer overflow in version 5.12 of Winamp creates the means of hackers to take over machines running the vulnerable software, providing they can trick users into visiting malicious constructed websites. A malformed playlist file contained in a file name starting with an overly long computer name would be automatically downloaded and opened in Winamp. Because of the security bug, Winamp version 5.12 is confirmed as vulnerable, and older versions may also be suspectable to the attack. So anyone that's a avid user of Winamp, please go ahead and patch your stuff, because the last thing you want is to be downloading malformed file playlists and buggering up your system. So you heard it here, and yes.
Don't say you weren't warned.
Exactly. Any news from you?
Yes, I had all kinds of news. However, sadly, I left it at work.
Yeah.
Same old excuse. But one thing that stuck in my brain today, the reason it stuck in my brain is because somebody told me about this when I was in the pub on Friday. And I told them it was a load of old bollocks and they should shut up. However, it turns out to be true. Mm-hmm. So whoever told me, I'm sorry. Tom Baker, who used to be Doctor Who back in the 70s, he's going to be the voice of BT's text to landline voice translation. Now, you know, at the minute, if you you send a text to a landline, you have this woman read it out. It's kind of a computer thing, similar to some of the stuff Ionix has done.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, baby, hello, yes, XXX, see you later. Basic woman android kind of voice. Pretty cool little feature. But now they've got Tom Baker to do it.
Wow.
Which sounds incredible. If you're not a Doctor Who fan, then you might recognise Tom Baker's unique voice as the narrator for Little Britain.
Ah, yes, yes.
Is the guy who kind of fills in and between the sketches and says, meanwhile in Little Bummington, local gay boy Daffy Thomas, stuff like that. Very cool voice the bloke's got, and he had to record nearly 12,000 different phrases over 11 days.
Wow. Wow.
So, that's quite a bit of work.
I'm sure he was getting paid most generously.
Oh, he must have been.
Yeah.
I mean, it says there the guy's 72. Hmm. So he must have been paid shitloads for that kind of work. All day, 11 days in the recording booth. Now say the next word. Bum. Now say the next word. Arse. I say that because...
Labia.
Vagina. I say that because later on in the article it says, BT say that there are no barriers to what Tom Baker's voice can say.
Wow.
Including rude words.
Cock.
Yeah.
Hacker Voice Radio.
I can't wait for this to go live. I don't know when it does. But I'm going to be spending a lot of money getting Tom Baker to say all kind of weird things. Because I think he's just brilliant. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, but you do have to be a BT customer to do this.
That's all right. I'll do it. Mm. I'm still with those dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Says here, also, I didn't read this bit. I didn't read the story too well, apparently.
Yeah.
Tom Baker is to be the voice... a talking text message service for 3 months. So I don't know if they're going to turn it off after 3 months or what, but that's strange. Because he spent 11 days recording it, and engineers spent 5 months processing the recordings so the computer would be able to recognise the text words and translate it into the audio files.
Right.
Strange. Just odd that they spent about 6 months doing it, and it might only run for 3 months. So, oh well. Just have to make the most of it while it lasts.
Yes, it would be cool. Sorry, just trying to reply to Matron or Mutron. Can't pronounce your handle. I'm sorry. It's a really problem. I'm gonna have to open a. I'm gonna have to open a new thread in the forums about pronunciation of handles. Get everybody to post that up.
We should just get Tom Baker to pronounce them all.
Yeah.
Text them to Tom Baker, and what he says is the law. Yeah. Can't argue with the Time Lord. Another cool little news story that LucasAid sent us is that Warner Brothers are going to start selling movies on the internet. Well, that seems rather strange from Warner Brothers, but it says here, films such as Batman Begins and the TV series The OC are to be made available over the internet via peer-to-peer networks by Studio Warner Brothers. The firm will sell movies and TV shows over the internet in Germany, Austria and Switzerland in March. Say what? Its Into Movies service will use the same file sharing technology that has led to an increase in movie piracy. Warner Brothers did not reveal price details but said it planned to widen the international use of P2P networks. Now, this news story must have fallen into our universe from one parallel to ours where big movie studios actually like the internet.
Right.
And time runs backwards and people stand on their heads. Seems absolutely strange that they're trying to sell their stuff on peer-to-peer networks, whereas mostly big studios such as Warner Brothers are getting involved in lawsuits and shutting people down for using such things illegally, I admit. But it's just quite a strange turnaround for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, I expect this to be loaded right up the arsehole with all kinds of DRM and stuff like that. And it's distributed over P2P, but you can only actually watch it if you've subscribed to their website or something weird like that and paid for it. They're now just starting to see the good side of the internet and P2P and all these technologies.
Yes. And in, I don't know if you've been aware of this story, in Rootkit news, apparently rootkits are getting deeper. Insider attacks and industrial espionage can become more stealthily hidden by malicious code in the core system functions available in motherboard's flash memory. Researchers said on Wednesday at the Black Hat Federal Conference, a collection of functions for power management known as the Advanced Configuration and Power Interface, ACPI, has its own high-level interpreted language that could be used to code a rootkit and store key attack functions in the basic input-output system, the BIOS, in a flash in flash memory. According to John Seisman, principal security consultant for UK-based Next Generation Security Software, a very cool guy. The researchers tested basic features such as elevating privileges and reading physical memory using malicious procedures and replacing legitimate functions stored in flash memory. Rootkits are becoming more of a threat in general. BIOS is just the next step. And it truly is. Hisman, I believe that's how it's pronounced, said during the presentation at the conference, while this is not a threat now, it's a warning to people to look out. So imagine by that warning that it's already out there, somehow underground, and it's just waiting to be released in the kind of mainstream hacker kind of thing. So yeah, watch out for that. And the effects of this would mean that they're pretty much undetectable, because the operating system doesn't go as far as touching the BIOS. You would have to do some serious work to actually detect and extract this, whereby you'd have to reflash your entire BIOS. It's pretty dangerous stuff.
Crazy-ass situation.
Yeah.
that takes off, expect to see a whole lot of t-shirts and stickers saying things like hands off my BIOS. That'll be the next geek thing.
Yes, yes. I think I might have to make a few.
I think patent the idea now, yes, yeah, before it takes off, you know.
And you might remember a story we were talking about a while back about 180 Solutions and their lawsuit with Zonelabs. Just to summarize, the story was that 180 Solutions was suing Zone Alarm for they were suing Zonelabs for classifying their software as malicious and instructing the users of Zonelabs to remove this software immediately. Adware provider 180 Solutions has voluntarily dropped the lawsuit filed in November against security software vendor Zonelabs after claiming the company was making false and misleading statements about its products. 180 Solutions did not offer a reason for dismissing the suit. However, the company came under immense public fire after its actions were picked up by the press. Zonelabs Zone Alarm Tool Alerts used the 1-800's Zango software and says it may log keystrokes and attack track web sites visited. 180 claimed that these accusations were false, alleging that Zone Alarms caused thousands of 180 customers 180 fucking I hate that name customers to remove or otherwise uninstall Zango and or 180 SA, whatever the fuck that is, adding that 180 has been damaged by the wrongful removal of its applications caused by Zonelabs torturous conduct. Although 180 Search Assistant and Zango tools may not be solely designed to spy on unsuspecting users, they do track websites and that are being visited and delivered advertisements based on the data. 180 maintains that the ads are delivered anonymously using a unique identifier number, such as your CPU and your IP address. So, in fact, it's not unique and it's not anonymous. But do users really want an application monitoring them in the background? Zonelabs and other anti-spyware vendors don't think so and recommend removal of software from any other spyware manufacturer. So basically, I think they should die, and very quickly. What do you think?
Fuck them. Sound like a bunch of assholes.
They are.
I've not been keeping up with this story, but just on the initial information we first heard about them having a pop at Zone Alarms because they'd uncovered stuff about 180 software, and 180 was saying, well, that's against our end user license agreement. You can possibly know that unless you've broken that license agreement, therefore, you know, it's dirty. The whole thing's dirty.
Yeah, it's a bitch, isn't it? I mean, they try and spin this shit off to make it look as if it's actually useful and it helps you out, and then, you know, you get so much shit on your computer you don't know where you're coming from. And you know those rumors that Google is planning to release their own operating system?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I've heard those rumors.
Yeah, well, listen to this. Google is preparing its own distribution of Linux for the desktop in a possible bid to take on Microsoft in a core business desktop software. A version of the increasingly popular Ubuntu desktop Linux distribution based on Debian and GNOME desktop is known is known internally as Gubuntu. Yes, that's right. They're calling it Gubuntu. Google has confirmed that it's working on a desktop Linux project called Gubuntu, but declined to supply further details, including what project it is for. It's possible that it's just another one of those toys that Google Plex engineers play around with on Fridays when they get time off from buffing the new search engine code or filtering out entries about Tiananmen Square. It could be for wider deployment on companies' own desktops, as an alternative to Microsoft, but still for internal use only. It's possible that Google plans to distribute it into the general public as a free alternative to Windows. Google has already demonstrated an increase interest in building a presence in the desktop environment. At CES Las Vegas this month announced the Google Pack, a collection of desktop software bundled together for easy downloading. The pack includes many applications which complete compete directly with the Windows bundle, such as Google Talk, Google Desktop, Mozilla Firefox, and Trillion, Instant Messenger, Real Player, and Picasa Photo Management. Going to the whole hog, the distribution of a complete desktop software suit would merely be another step down the same path. However, entering the desktop software would be a huge step, making Gubuntu an easy to use as XP and require a lot more development. Unless it will be ready for showtime anytime soon, it's possible that Google itself hasn't finalized where the project should go. So interesting news.
Yeah, interesting news if it's true.
Yes.
Well, you never know what those Google boys are.
It sounds like it.
Let's hope so.
Any more news? Let's see what we have.
Got a little bit of old news here.
Yeah.
This is something I meant to do before we bag it off to the States. Now, I'm just going to send you a file, which you might want to bung on after the news story, MP3 that will probably become clear.
Sure.
Let me just make sure that's sending before I start reading the story. Yeah, that looks like it. Anyway, old news, so you might have heard it. It's from the start of the month. It says here, starstruck motorists are being offered satellite navigation systems that speaks to them in the voices of three Hollywood superstars, namely Mr. T, Dennis Topper, and Burt Reynolds, who have all agreed to record directions for a new satellite navigation system. So, there's a new satellite navigation system where, instead of just having the generic computer voice saying, turn left at 100 yards, you can have Mr. T tell you to do it.
Turn left, fool! Turn left!
There is actually a sample of some of the Mr. T speech, which is what I've just sent you. So, cool. When that comes in, give that a go, and...
I pity the fool that does not follow my instructions.
Yeah. It is pretty much like that. I don't know if they're actually shipping this yet, because I went on the web forum for the developers who are doing it. It's some big firm. And they're saying, you know, we're about to start shipping these units with these three actors. Who would you like to see next? And a lot of people were saying, oh, this guy or that guy or the guy off this show and this TV series. But not one of them had suggested the obvious choice, which is, of course, whoever did the voice for Kit in Knight Rider.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
Now, how cool would that be?
Duh.
Michael, I can't let you do that. Michael, engage the turbo boost.
Yeah.
Crap impression from me, I admit, but I'm pretty sure that guy's still knocking around.
Yes. That would be the ultimate thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, having the Knight Rider voice in your car. That would just be ace, especially if it lit up like Kit as well with the things on the dashboard.
That would be so awesome.
It would be.
Yeah.
But not one of these people had suggested it, and I didn't either. I just went, ugh, idiots, they didn't say it. And then wandered off to look at boobs. cheer myself up.
Shall I play that now? It's only 4 seconds long.
Is it? Play it if you got it.
Okay. Oh.
You know what I'm saying? You heard me? This is Miss... Hey, this is Mr. T. Pay attention to what I'm saying. You heard me? This is Miss...
Is that it?
No, it should be...
It should be longer.
A lot longer than that.
Weird. Okay. Fucking...
Oh, it's fucked up.
It must be me. Let me try and download this again. Yes, I do want to replace.
Should be about 900k.
Bonk. Let's see how long this one is. This one's 1 minute long.
Hey, this is try Mr. that. T.
Pay attention to what I'm saying. You heard me, this is Mr. T. Not one of them other two-bit actors that could be doing a lot of stuff or whatnot. They might sound funny and whatnot. That's all, they just funny, they jokes. But when you ride with Mr. T, Mr. T gonna get you there in one piece. He gonna get you there in fun. Your kid's gonna act right. And you're gonna get the direction. You're gonna be there safely. Or else. Hey, this is Mr. T. You notice me. I'm in this little box. All right. Two things really make me mad. If you ever watch the A-Team, you know I don't like to fly. Now you got me in this little box. It's hot in here. Cut the air conditioner up a little higher. Cool me off, brother. I don't like to be hot in the summertime. Not like this here. All right. Keep the air on me. If necessary, fan me. Because if I don't get fanned, I'll give you the wrong direction. You'll wind up in the wrong area. You don't want that to happen, do you, fool? Ha, ha, ha. You've reached your destination. What is that? That's where you was going? Oh, man. You wasted my time. Now get out of here and learn to drive better.
That's fucking awesome.
That was just three little samples from it. How cool would that be? Everywhere you go.
Yeah. Is that actually him?
Yeah, that is actually him. He signed up for it and recorded loads of phrases. And
awesome.
They're putting it in satellite navigation.
That's fucking hilarious, man. Oh.
I think one of the clever kind of business parts of this is if you buy their satellite navigation,
yeah,
then for something like $5 or $10, you can change the celebrity who's on it.
Awesome.
So you'll get a generic one to begin with, and then as they record more people,
you just
know,
upgrade
they'll ship
it.
You the CD for a tenner or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's quite a clever little business thing, because like they did with ringtones, they made those dead cheap. So, you know, everyone can get on them and spend loads on them. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying it's very clever, you know, to make it that cheap. So, possibly wave of the future. Who knows?
Yeah. Talking about ringtones, I managed to track that guy down that made the Crazy Frog. You know, that extremely annoying little bastard that's on TV. No, I didn't. It's a guy called Sean Freeman. And you can visit his website at www.seanfreeman, that's S-H-A-U-N Freeman, that's F-R-E-E-M-A-N .com, and he is sort of like an independent animator, and that's the guy, I believe, he has done the Crazy Frog for Jamster.com. Your source for all the fucking annoying ringtones you can find.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Did he actually come up with a concept for it, or was he just roped into?
I think he was just contracted in to do the animation for it. He wasn't the guy that made the original bling ding 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 thing. That was some other kid in Norway or something like that. He was just fucking around, and then obviously it got blown out of proportion all over the internet, and I guess they kind of picked up on it. That's the guy. Don't send him loads of abusive emails.
It's not his fault. He's just doing a job.
Yeah, he's actually quite a decent animator. I haven't checked out
some of his stuff. Looks really good.
Yeah, really, really cool. So yeah.
But whoever came up with the original concept of it, and whoever decided to turn that into a ringtone, they deserve punishment.
Yes, yes.
They not deserve. This guy. He's just doing a job, animating damn well.
Yeah.
But those bastards who came up with the Crazy Frog, I'll find you one of these days.
And you shall receive some serious punishment.
Yes.
Dished out by a long whip.
Yes. That goes ding 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 when it hits you.
Yeah.
See how much you can take. I was in a pub once. about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was standing at the bar, and there's this great big guy next to me, bald head, muscles coming out of his muscles, right, big. He was about 50, but he looked like he could punch through a wall, basically. Big old rough bugger he was. Anyway, I was there, I just got my pint, and he was standing next to me, just grunting and breathing too loud. I thought, Christ, I can't wait to get served and get away from this freak. Anyway, his mobile phone goes off, and it's the bloody Crazy Frog ringtone. He pulls it out, and it's going, ding, 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 and the entire pub turned around and just gave him such a look of disgust and contempt. Just every single person, yeah. Babies, children, old women, just looked at him and went, oh, gum. And the poor guy, he was, honestly, he was built like a brick shit house, but he kind of caved in internally, just like, crouched down and picked up his phone and went outside and went, yeah. He was embarrassed to have that ringtone, as he should be.
Yes.
People like that should be shunned from our society. Send them outside into the cold.
Yes, and everybody should be really ashamed of having any kind of one of those annoying ringtones. Whatever happened to just the generic ringtone? Just a phone ringing. I'll never know.
Ring, ring.
Yes. Oh, listen to this. New York Post is claiming that Google is considering an alliance or possibly an acquisition of Napster. Rather than just starting their own, Google could jump in and start their music service with the help of Napster. Napster's share price scored more than 30% as a result of the report that they are in discussion with Google. Interesting. So, you know, there's rumors of them starting a kind of file-sharing thing just like iTunes. Apparently they're going to be, well, probably taking over Napster in the kind of process of doing that. So, weird. It's kind of interesting, the kind of life story of Napster, how it's progressively, you know, gone from an underground illegal, you know, file-sharing network to then a legitimate file-sharing network, and now to be acquired by Google. It's quite a big step for whoever owns it.
They must look back on writing that and think, you know, Jesus Christ, how the world's changed.
Yeah.
Seems to be also everything connected with Google turns to gold.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. I'm thinking I've got to start some kind of company.
Yes.
Internet-based, doing anything, and then start spreading rumours that Google are going to buy me out and then sell all the shares.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's very, very illegal, however. You know?
I'd buy the shares.
Yeah, they're like gold, because Google are interested, you know. This will be the next big thing.
Mm. Google rumoured to acquire a porn website.
Gporn.com.
Yeah. Also, another interesting article I stumbled upon today was the evolution of controllers. I would advise everybody to visit this website because it's kind of cool about that article that they've just released. The URL is a bitch to read out. But for historic purposes, it's revolution.advancedmn.com/article.php?ARTID=63:55. And it's a short little article on the evolution of controllers from the first Atari 2600 all the way up to the Revolution, the new Nintendo controller. Pardon me, yes, Nintendo controller. That fucking PlayStation 3 controller received so much flack from everybody. It looks like a boomerang thing.
Yeah, it just looks pretty shit, to be honest with you. This is the great big grey one, the PlayStation 3 one, yeah?
That's right, yeah. Mm. That's, it looks like a really bent banana, or some sort of weird double dildo. I don't know. I like the 360 controller, that's really cute. It's really nice. It's a bit like the GameCube controller, only without the little bulge in the middle. Very much like that, and the button placement is also very alike. So maybe a little bit of copying was going on, but unsurprised that that would happen from, you know, Microsoft.
Surely they wouldn't.
No.
Not Bill. Never. Yeah, they're all pretty similar once you look into it, you know.
Yeah.
All the console kind of designs of the same generation.
Yeah, so. I mean, they all kind of copied each other from one end to another. Even the original PlayStation controller was actually a kind of beta model of the new SNES controller. And the companies split it up and they made their own console and decided to keep that original format of controller from Nintendo, and that's where that one was formed and became a very famous icon of controllers, I believe, but none to beat the original NES controller. That is the ultimate geek icon, the ultimate geek symbol is that NES controller. I mean, tell me anything and that will beat it. I truly believe.
The old Atari joystick.
Yes.
I say that's the king of joysticks.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
The old black one with the orange little button up there on the top left.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I grew up with it, but that for me says gaming all the way.
Well, okay. If you had an Atari joystick and an NES controller on two different T-shirts, I'd probably go with the joystick as an icon rather than that. But as a popular kind of instantly recognizable thing, I would go for the NES. If you
I've
see
actually
what I mean.
Seen little key rings of the old NES.
Yeah?
Things. They're not actual old NES.
They're just
ones. They're like little shrunk
plastic.
Down
kind of
remakes, yeah. But you're right, it is an icon in gaming. Mm. God, we're such nerds.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just occurred to me.
Yeah, well, you can't blame us.
It's finally hit me. My eyes are open.
Yeah, I don't think that's such a bad thing.
Nah.
No. I mean, you gotta love it, though. It was just so awesome. That, you know, playing on the NES back in the day with that controller, you've just got such a feel for the game. And the graphics, although now they may be so outdated and they could run on a watch, they were just so fantastic. And the music, you know, you could actually, instead of being like weird, you know, computer speaker beeps, they were kind of harmonic tones. That, you know, that you really brought you straight into the game. You know, I've got to say, Star Fox Adventures has to be the best game for me on the NES. I don't know, what would you say?
I never played with the NES that much.
Well, what were you,
I was a, home computer 8-bit kind of guy.
Right.
You know, Atari, Commodore.
Yeah.
Didn't get into consoling myself.
Sure.
Until the PS1, I think.
Right.
You know, quite a latecomer to that little party. So, you know, I was busy with the Amiga. Hmm.
No, fair play.
Point and click and shit like that.
Did you say you've still got one?
I've got all kinds of shit. I've got a SNES.
Wow.
Super Nintendo. I actually got that for helping a mate of mine move house.
Cool.
He and his girlfriend were living in a place. I helped him get all the shit out into my car, drove him to his place, stuff like that, two or three trips. And the last thing they had was an old box that belonged to her brother. And she said, look, you may as well have this. I went, oh, cool. What is it? And there's a Super Nintendo inside. I'm about to have an orgasm. I loved it.
Yeah. I've got to put Brian to your house, man. I'm sure you've got some interesting artifacts.
I've got a Mega Drive hooked up to the TV at the minute.
Cool. That's so sweet, man. We've got to have a few games.
Yeah. One of these days, I want to get it all sorted out and all kinds of different consoles wired up into a, like a junction
box. Like a Switch.
Yeah. Like a SCART selector or something like that, if I can. And I want to get the Dreamcast out of retirement because I miss her. She was beautiful. And all stuff like that. I'm stuck in the past.
Yes. But I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I think it was some very good, memorable times, really.
Yeah. I know it's all been said before, it's a bit of a cliche, but things really were better back then.
Yeah.
There was a lot more original ideas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had to push a computer or a console a lot further.
Mm.
And these days, it's just lazy sequels, really.
Yeah.
That's all I've seen on the Xbox 360. That's why I've not bought one. That, and you can't get one for love nor money.
Yeah.
But even if they were available, if they're charging 45 to 50 quid for a game, I don't want a lazy sequel, you know?
Exactly.
I want a new, original, exciting title that is going to push this fantastic new hardware to its limits.
Yeah.
Not just bloody Call of Duty 2, which I can get on the PC anyway, you know? Where's the point in that? I don't know. These kids today, they're crazy.
Yeah, you know, they get it fucking all handed out to them. Before, we had to fucking code our own assembler program to emulate a different piece of tape that was written for a different computer, so it could run on your Amstrad or whatever. You know, if something was coded for like 64-bit and you only had 32-bit worth of memory, and you had to, you know, compile the bits and all that shit and reformat your floppy disks so that it would work. That was a pain in the ass. It's like just working out how this thing was made. And also they come up with these really ingenious ways of ways of trying to kill the game if it's copied and you execute it. So you had to go ahead and just like actually go into the hex of the game and try and work out the algorithms of how they were trying to do this. And usually it will be a sort of checksum in a way, if you see what I mean, that the game would produce if copied. And there's all sorts of ways of trying to get around that. But that was all back in the day, and now it doesn't apply one bit, so everything I've said is just useless.
Ancient history. May as well be talking about bloody Rome and...
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
You know, Caesar and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff that happened years ago.
Yeah. Did you get into any of that kind of fast dubbing and stuff like that?
No.
No?
Nothing like that. Never really had to. I mean, for us, just tape to tape.
Yeah.
Always worked.
Yeah.
I heard talk of it, but never really needed it.
Yeah.
So. And also, when I was using the Amiga, a friend of a friend, this bloke, he was saving up for a Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he saved up for a Harley Davidson was by selling copied Amiga discs for 50p a time. So we had shitloads off that time.
Yeah.
Probably brought in that damn motorcycle.
Yeah.
50p a pop, you can't go wrong like that.
Was it the old a quarter inch?
No,
the pretty big floppy
Amiga was 3.5.
3.5, so the hard floppy disks.
Yeah.
I don't know why they called the floppy disks floppy disks. Like, you know, the new version, 3.5, 3.25, weren't actually floppy disks, but the original name for it was the huge, I don't know, was it five and a bit or something like that?
5.25.
Yeah, 5.25 inch. And those were actual floppy
damn
disks.
Floppy.
because they were floppy and you could literally break them. They would like, because if you're going round to your mate's house, you have to actually think about how you're gonna, you know, carry all this stuff. And before in the day, it was like, I hope he has the compatible, you know, converter for my MIDI output to this and that. And you were thinking about how this is gonna work, and you were screwed if your parents didn't have a car, because you have to lug, you know, either just the keyboard, which is your computer, or the monitor as well, you know, all the way around. And it was a bitch, but. That was the days before internet.
Ooh, dark days.
Yes.
That's nice. It's weird. Maybe I should say it forwards instead of backwards.
Yeah.
It's weird to think, but there was a very good kind of scene and community there, even though there wasn't an online backbone for him.
Yeah.
It was just people knowing people who knew other people who could hook you up with something.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was really a community-based thing, like, you know, through schools and stuff. I remember most of my stuff was, you know, I was pretty much the loner in that kind of sense, because there wasn't really that many kids in my school that I knew that were interested in what I was interested in. There was only a few that really took some interest in the kind of logo programming I would do, and then, you know, the conversation would stem from there. You know, what kind of system do you have at home? Oh, fucking, you know, Atari shit and stuff like that, blah blah blah. I've got, you know, 64-bit, and you've only got 8, you know, sort of thing. and it would really stand, and it's like, oh, lend me a tape, you know, I want to check this out, and, you know, be like, oh, I just made my own game, you know, I'll give you the tape, tell me what you think, and, you know, you'd play their game, and you'd look at their source code, and see how it was made, and all that kind of stuff, and, that's kind of how the whole kind of exchange of things went on in my kind of micro social cosmos of the early kind of hacking slash gaming childhood that I had. And that was without the internet, you know. I didn't really have much internet time. Obviously, when the BBS kind of stuff took off, then that was it, basically. You know, for me, it was no more. I didn't have to go out of my house to interact with people. Although, you know, download times were horrendous. You know, you had to plan these things. You had to actually plan. Right, I'm going to have to download this. I'm going to need X amounts of floppy disks. I'm going to need X amounts of time when I can use the phone. What's going to be on? Right, okay. The bill's going to be on in half an hour, so I might as well stick it to download now and watch that, if you see what I mean. So that's kind of how it worked before. As you'd get really excited, like, right, I'm planning a download, you know. You'd write a list of all the things you need to do before you start the download, and partition your drives and stuff like that. Because back in the day, you didn't really have, you know, extensive zipping protocols and stuff like that. It was basically all text, which kind of sucks, but...
It's a different world, mate, looking back on it.
Yeah.
You know.
It really is. Yeah, and I mean, I've always mean to buy myself a new, like, Amstrad or Amiga or Atari or something like that, just to get back to the good old days. But I haven't tracked one down yet.
Well, you say the good old days, but I've bought a few retro computers off eBay.
Yeah.
You know, from fond childhood memories.
Yeah.
You get something like a C64, hook it up to the TV and get it going, put a tape in it.
Yeah.
And sit there and watch it load, and you think, oh my Christ. How did I do this every single evening? That's been going for 45 minutes, and I'm pretty sure it's working.
Yeah.
You know, and then the game comes up, you're like, oh, okay. God, I'm knackered now. I've only just loaded it. You know, I'm so bored.
Yeah. You've lost interest in what you were doing originally.
Yeah, but, you know, looking back with hindsight, it's like, oh, this game was awesome. This one was so cool. That one was brilliant.
Yeah.
You forget the downside of, like, it took all day to load. Oh, retro computing's kind of cool. But
yeah.
once you go back to it, you're like, oh man, that's bad.
Yeah.
Well, just give me a console.
I'd love to go back to it, if only for a few times a month, sort of thing, just to play around.
Go back to it for an afternoon, and then go back to the internet and go, hooray!
Thank God for that.
Yeah, I can download porn faster than that machine could load games. 100 times faster, probably. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm going to be asking a few people around in 2600 meetings. Some stuff I've been playing around with. Don't want to talk about it on the show. And
fair enough.
So, yeah, make sure you turn up. It's Friday from about 6 p.m. at Trocadero, London. And, I guess it's going to be looking like a nice little turnout this month.
Sounds damn cool.
Yeah, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, I am planning on going.
Fantastic.
So I should have the time off, and unless something terrible happens, I'm planning to get down there during the day and sort out some kind of accommodation, stay over so I can stay in the pub with you boys and get drunk and, you know, have a proper 2600.
Yeah.
Not leave at 10 o'clock because the last train's at this and all that kind of crap.
Sounds very, very good.
For anyone who doesn't know and does want to join us, because we bang on about it quite a lot, go to the London 2600 website where there's all the details about where you need to go and so on and so forth. Which is london2600.org.uk. Everything you need to know is there.
And if you're interested in finding out more information about your local meeting, visit our forums, which are at www.hackervoice.co.uk, and in the meetings in the forum called THB meetings, you will find a post on 2600 meetings around the UK that I have summarized and written up. And if you know of any that are not on the list, please let me know, and that can be amended or do so yourself. Thank you for listening to another broadcast of Hacker Voice Radio. I hope it has been enjoyable.
Or at least not too painful.
Yes. I'm sure people have gotten used to us by now, I'd imagine.
If they're still listening by now, then yeah, they must have.
I was thinking about what kind of music to end on. I'm thinking a bit of Zerl. You can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with Zerl, man.
Fantastic. Ooh, looks like somebody's happy to see you at 2600.
Oh, crikey.
He didn't know you were so popular.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, if only it was a woman.
Well, you know, I always said you're more popular than me.
Yes! I knew it.
Anyway, ending on that, I'm saying goodnight.
And so am I. Take care, people. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For tuning in.
This dream is my world. If I started murdering people, if you spit in my face and smack me in the mouth and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing, what do you think's gonna happen when I get out of here?
I'm picking up these broken pieces with just monkeys throwing feces. Steady praying on your knees in weakness. We are full religious creases, dogmatic thesis. Like John Brown, ain't no way I let this shit go down. Fuck the rich, religion, and those who wear the crown. For adjectives and nouns, but we're tightly wound, frozen frowns. I can taste this hate, we can erase the rape. Wait for no savior with robe or cape. We don't believe in fate. Any future you got, you create. Way too wrapped up in religion to concentrate. Eyes bigger than belly, and you got a full plate. Way too underground to be clutched. These labels can't relate. If the
This class struggle ain't worth a damn. If I'm black when I'm born, am I considered a man?
Maybe.
It's like Warren Beatty. For me to get information, I have to be Dick Tracy. Zero Lacey told me I have socialist opinions. From that I realized he was right. Was strong stripping, no bullshit. Whether it's written or shown on TV, it's big to see that poverty's worth repeating. Rich folks cheating, they support the institutions. What would they do if all criminals stopped shooting? For bankrupt, keep their money so people can't touch. We still get credit to spouses who send their made up trips to Vegas. But when we send their Dr. Baker, the working class makes it happen for trips to Vegas.
Remorseful what? You people have done everything in the world to me. Doesn't that give me equal right? If you spit in my face and smack me in the mouth and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing, what do you think's gonna happen when I get out of here?
We stay creeping. It's time to organize. You ready for this meeting? Against injustice, we fight in the streets. And we're burning up because we fight in the heat. And shoulder to shoulder, comrades, we march to freedom. To the masses, fuck the fashion. My folks are my passion. In my mind, revolution's flashing. We're serious, oblivious. Unity we wish. Hit they scatter like a broken dish. Money matters till death plants a kiss. Like gypsies, we drift, drift, and riff. Too many atrocities to list. Go to jail or slit your wrist. It's my philosophy like Chris. Y'all will never catch me. My heart's like an Apache. We punch through the social flu. Our emotions are painted blue. We have no clue. Childish ways that we outgrew. Our wildest days that we barely lived through. This world a joke. Can't you see this joke is choking me? Capitalism, failure is the force, please. The rich say fuck the trees. Play us like a tease. They then stole the honey. Where the fuck the bees? In the shade, 96 degrees. I wash your chains, you break mine. To kill this giant of the beanstalk, we must climb. For petty tyrants, 100 million afraid of dying. For freedom, we're wildin'. We don't need them. Money, jewelry, styling.
I know we hate hard, explicit, it's so blatant. Fuck the government, the police are so racist. You want the basic, we want the average. No more than the net, just enough to say we have shit. It's drastic, the devil's advocate. Just give me your toys and I'ma wish that everybody is happy shit. I grew up a bastard with no father figure. My mom held she down until the cancer killed her. Now I'm the nigga responsible for what I do. I got my nephew, my brother, class, life, and in him too. I got responsibilities, it's on our shoulder. It's not how much money you have, or who's the holder.
Maybe I haven't done enough. I might be ashamed of that for not doing enough, for not giving enough, for not being more perceptive, for not being aware enough, for not understanding, for being stupid.
The streets of my world.